I'm Peter Solomon, and you're tuned to The Morning Show on Listener-Driven Jazz 88. I am thrilled this morning to bring you a conversation with banjoist Bela Fleck. He's appearing at the Dakota next week in a trio with drummer Antonio Sanchez and a Colombian harpist named Edmar Castañeda. This year, Bela Fleck was honored with a Grammy Award for Best Jazz Instrumental Performance. It was from one of his recordings with Chick Corea on piano. That's where our conversation began, and he spoke with me while he was on vacation with his family in Lakeland, Florida at Legoland. So I wanted to ask, first of all, you to reflect on getting a Grammy Award for this work with Chick Corea. What does that make you think of with this collaboration with Chick? And you guys did some 3 albums together, I understand.
Yeah, he was a hero, mentor, and a friend to me. I learned so much from him. I have to say that he's the guy who made me really want to play this kind of music on the banjo when I heard him in, I think it was 75. With Return to Forever at the Beacon Theater, which was a few blocks from where I lived in New York City. It turned me inside out. I just didn't know what to think, except that I wanted to do that. Of course I can't, but it was pretty incredible that I got to be friends with him and get to study with him and learn from him. He would say we were collaborating, but I was stealing wholesale. Anything I could learn from him was gold.
So tell me about this new project, The Beat Trio.
The name is ingenious. It wasn't my idea, but my name is Bela, Edmar, and then there's Antonio, and then Trio starts with a T. So there you have B-E-A-T, Rio. Oh my goodness. It all fell into place. But it's an incredible group of musicians for me to play with and learn from. And I don't know, that's always what makes me want to play with people, is if I can learn from them. I always try to be around people that know a lot more than I do, which is embarrassing, but I edge up in little tiny bits, and I start to understand more and more from playing with people like Chick, people like Zakir Hussain, and these two guys are right in there, because there's a whole world that they know all about that I'm just got my toes in.
So Edmar is from Bogota, Colombia, originally, and he plays folkloric music of that country, and it actually fits into all kinds of different musical situations. But can you talk a little bit about his background and what intrigues you about his music?
Yeah, the band The Flecktones, Bela Fleck and The Flecktones, with Victor Wooten and Future Man and Howard Levy, we always attracted interesting musicians to become part of our weird community of people that didn't do things in a normal way. And so at a certain point, people started telling me, oh, you need to check out this Edmar guy. And I saw a few YouTubes. I was like, holy cow, that guy's intense. That's amazing. But when you think of harp, maybe you don't think of how rhythmic and powerful it can be. We have this idea of harp being this gentle, beautiful glissando in the orchestra or Harpo Marx or whatever. But this guy is a monster. He's a stunning jazz. To me, he's a jazz musician, like on that super high level. But he also has that folk rhythm, which I relate to because bluegrass has this forward lean and this push. And I hear that same thing in his music, in his traditional music. And I see how it's made him a very unique jazz player. So in that way, we're similar. I'm a little different as a jazz player because I have these influences that typically are not in jazz. He has the same, but they're different influences. Great part about playing with those guys for me is their rhythm is so tight and forward leaning that I can just play just the way I normally play in a bluegrass band or with the Flecktones or anything, because it's always on the crisp edge. And when it's on the crisp edge, it makes me go. I can just play. Very inspiring. Now also remember, the harp is the bass in our band. So when the record comes out and you start hearing tracks from it, you go, like, who's playing bass? Well, he's doing it at the same time as he's doing all that other stuff.
So tell me about the role that Antonio Sanchez plays in the group. I know that he's worked quite a bit with Pat Metheny has had some of his own projects, but what role does he fill between the harp and the banjo?
Well, he's the motor, although we're all kind of the motor in this band. It's one of those bands where everybody is super rhythmically focused, even unconsciously. Like, we don't have to think about it. He's just one of the coolest drummers I've ever heard from Mexico. Oh, I was going to mention the Birdman soundtrack. You know about that movie Birdman with Michael Keaton and Ed Norton? And the whole soundtrack was Antonio just playing drums solo by himself. And so he goes out a lot and plays. They play the film without the soundtrack, and he does it live. It's a pretty incredible thing to see.
Wow.
But he's just a great collaborator. He's, again, like some jazz drummers are relaxed and groovy. He's very tight, again, and forward-leaning, which makes my life a lot easier as a banjo player because I'm kind of a percussionist in a way. At my best, when I'm doing it well, it's very. I'm trying to be precise and be very rhythmic.
I wanted to ask you specifically about a few of the compositions. The first single that's being released is Archipelago. Can you tell me a little bit about that tune?
Sure. So Edmar and I got together for the Big Ears Festival the first time and played as a duet. You know about Big Ears? It's a festival that happens in Knoxville every year, and people are brought in from all musical idioms, from jazz, modern bluegrass, modern classical music, all kinds of stuff. People who are cutting the edge. You might see John Zorn next to me, next to Bill Frisell, next to Brooklyn Rider, or I mean, all kinds of people are there. Edgar Meyer will be there this year with a classical project. So it's a real muso festival, and people come that love to be challenged by music. And at any rate, they asked me if I would come and play with and do something different that year. And I said, what about Edmar? Can I bring Edmar? And I did. And we had a blast playing together. And I learned a bunch from that experience of collaborating with him and putting together a set. And one of the main things I learned is you really need to understand what his harp can do in order to write for it. And it's going to go the best if I'm sitting there with him in the room. So where typically I like to write a lot and then bring them stuff to a band and see what they do with it. That wouldn't work as well with Edmar because he can make a lot of harmonic moves. Every single note he has on his harp has a lever that can change it to a different pitch. So he's constantly changing the pitches, but I don't understand it. I don't know if I'll ever understand what he's doing. So I can't write changes that might sound natural to me, maybe impossible for him, and changes that are wildly unusual are very possible for him. I can't tell. So we got together in a room and started composing tunes. And so Archipelago, I started writing that the morning we got together for our rehearsal. I was at my mom's house in New York City and I had the banjo and I thought, what are we going to do? We got to have something to start with. And I came up with that opening melody. It reminded me a little bit of that great composer from South America, the accordion player.
The tango composer, Astor Piazzolla.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And we had done one of his tunes, and so it told me that he could play the harmony from that tune. So I started writing with that in mind, and then when I got to his house, I said, do you like this enough? Should we try to finish it? And he said, yeah, let's do it. And I said, we started looking for chords that fit his instrument. I was like, can we go to this chord? No, we can't go to that. What about this? Yes, okay, that'll be the second chord. And so we built the bridge that way together, figuring out where we could go on both of our instruments. And when we were done, I thought we had a really good, you know, strong opening tune.
Are there a couple of tunes that stand out to you as your favorites on that record?
Yeah, I really like Walnut and Western. It's like, that's a tune that I wrote a long time ago, and I had to change the harmony to make it fit Edmar's instrument. It's one I've tried in a number of settings and never could quite find the right band to play it. And with these guys, it just sounds like it's supposed to be. So I'm happy with that. It's more in a poppy direction, but that works because the record as a whole is goes to a lot of different places, and I think we can go there for a little while. I love Whispers of Resilience, this piece that Edmar wrote. There's a story to that one. So when you're listening to it and it starts, you don't almost have to see the harp to realize this, but he plays most of the piece with one hand. And so he wrote the piece with one hand because he had broken his other hand and didn't know he was ever going to be able to play with it again. And so the piece is kind of emotional and very beautiful. It was taking a really bad moment and trying to find something positive out of it.
So you've done so many different collaborations with musicians all over the world. There's that whole documentary about your voyage to Africa to collaborate with some of the West African musicians. Has there ever been a context that you've ventured into musically that you haven't been able to fit the banjo into?
I think some things work better than others. It's surprising sometimes what doesn't work, though. Sometimes the simplest things, like trying to find a role on a bro country track, and I kind of walk away and I go, yeah, I don't think I should be playing this kind of music. Maybe because I don't like it that much. But sometimes I just think, gosh, it's just not what I'm doing. Someone else could do a better job. You know, sometimes I hear, like some of the straight bluegrass stuff, there are people that have made that the center of their banjo existence, and they're better at it than me. And I feel like I ought to be able to do that, but I'm actually better at these collaborations and finding, you know, different ways to play the banjo as a kid from New York would rather than a kid from North Carolina. And I have a lot of respect for those guys because they just have this power and drive. And in a way, they've simplified. They've taken a lot out of their music in order to be super good at these particular things.
Are there new collaborations that you have that are you going to be unveiling in the coming year?
Yeah, a couple of things. A few years ago, I did an album called My Bluegrass Heart, which was like a return to bluegrass, although, again, it's not traditional. I was trying to push it a bit. And on that project, I started playing with a blind fiddle player named Michael Cleveland. And Michael is just a stunning musician. And there has been a tradition in bluegrass music and also in Celtic music of banjo and fiddle going together very, very well. So we're working on a record that's just a banjo fiddle album, but we're working really hard on every track and doing some interesting things, like playing Bach as if it was a Flatt & Scruggs tune, or playing one of the Shakti tunes from John McLaughlin and Zakir, some things like that, but also some very traditional straight down the middle stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also working on a song cycle, which is an orchestra piece with my wife, Abigail Washburn, who's a great singer and a clawhammer banjo. She plays old style banjo, older style than me. And we composed and created a piece, about a 40-minute work for orchestra, where she sings and we both play, that we premiered in Colorado with a symphony there, and that we're finishing up an album of it, which is very unusual. I'm really very proud of.
Is there anything you want to say in front of your gig with the Beat Trio at the Dakota?
It's really fun. It's really fun. It reminds me of the early days of the Flecktones, when people would come going, how's this going to work? I mean, I'm going to come just because this doesn't sound right on paper. Like banjo, electric drums, harmonica, and electric bass. And then people would be so surprised because their expectations were so low. So now this is kind of like that again. Just people come out going, I don't know, how's that going to work with harp and banjo and drums? Is it going to sound like anything? And they're usually pretty pleased, and it works. It's just a really fun group that has a lot of excitement to the music, a lot of spark and creativity happening at every moment.
Bela Fleck, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for taking the time while you're on vacation in Lakeland, Florida at Legoland. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, have a wonderful trip.